Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
A new contest is underway. We'll give you details on that coming up in a little bit.
Augie Ojeda calling in. I wanted to know if you guys remember me from my time here in Chicago with the Cubs.
Oh, but you talk about if we do a Final Four list, which is we are having doing a Final Four list today just at 5:15, of the most overrated Cubs of all time. Like the Cubs who were the most lovable for doing less, Augie Ojeda would be on that list. Like the love affair people had with Augie Ojeda, he stunk, actually. He was just little. He was cute. He was a huggable guy. So people loved Augie Ojeda. Meantime, Sammy Sosa can't get back in the building.
Right.
He can't get back in the building. The Athletic won't even put him in their fictional Hall of Fame.
Are you still hot on that?
Yeah, I'm still hot over that. Yeah.
Have you had a good talking to with John?
Oh, you can't rationalize with Greenberg. No. He'll just outsnark you.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this. As long as we're throwing stuff out, and as I was listening to the Rizzo interview, where Rizzo is open to anything now. Who knows? Does the season start in August? You talk about some bad news. I don't know if you saw this today, Waddle. Virginia, the state of Virginia, has a stay-at-home order from the governor through June 10th.
Yeah, I don't know. That I'm not understanding. I'm not a medical professional, but I mean, why can't we make this a little more fluid than that? Why can't we just renew it every 30 days?
Say we're out until, and then we'll revisit.
Right.
So anyway, so let's say baseball does come back. I like the plan, and I'd still be happy if you gave it to me today that we're playing baseball on August 1st. I'm dealing with that. I'm cool with that. If you say, Sylvie, you could chance it and get it earlier, or you could sign today. We're August 1st. You know you're playing baseball. I'd sign right now, knowing that, hey, maybe if medicine does advance, maybe we can be surprised. But I'm worried about the other side of things, so I'd happily take August 1st. So
I would not.
You would not?
No.
You would not sign that up?
Nope.
Because remember, spring training would have to start mid-to early July. So
I'm not being obstinate. I'm not being stubborn. I have more faith that there will be, I have more faith in the private sector that will continue. Like today, whether it was Abbott's 10-minute test.
Right.
Or other developments that J&J says that they will have significant testing on a vaccine before the end of the year. It may not be available until next year. But not only that, but they're also going to mass produce it while they're going through testing, which is a huge risk to them. In terms of financially, because if for whatever reason it doesn't pan out, then you've done all this production on something that doesn't have any efficacy. So I think that the private sector can continue to bring us good news potentially that hopefully will speed things up so that an August 1st start is overly cautious.
Yeah.
Now, you may be right, but I'm gonna put my faith in getting a start a little bit sooner for the old sports-a-roo than August 1st.
All right, so whatever the date, but they're talking about how do we get these games in? Do we play seven-inning doubleheaders? Do we not play extra innings so we don't tax the pitchers? And do we just have a tie category in the standings? Cap suggested designated hitters for both leagues because you're going to need to carry extra players on your roster. Why not do the unthinkable since it's for a year? Let's do the geographical divisions for one summer where the Cubs and the Sox are in the same damn division, where you have to play in a central location maybe anyway. And, you know, Brian Windhorst threw this out there this morning that NBA games may have to take place all in the same city. So why don't we get divisions for just this one summer and make them as close as possible and don't worry about American League and National League. Put the White Sox, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Cardinals, and pick another team in the same division.
The Red Legs.
Well, I think the Reds can, be in with Cleveland.
Are you scared?
No, I'm not scared at all.
Are you scared?
No. You
don't want the Reds in your division?
I'm thinking, though, if you're going geographical, it would make more sense to maybe have Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit, and another team or two. And then you have that Midwest right in the central of the country where you have the Cubs, the White Sox in the same city, the Brewers 90 miles north. You have the Cardinals 4 hours south.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Kansas City. Kansas City.
I don't know about Kansas City. Maybe Minnesota, the Twins.
Kansas City's in Missouri.
I know. It's further west, though. Would they be in, like, a Colorado division? I don't know. I'm not Mr. Geography. But I do know that, it scared me, Waddle, where I get two series.
Geography scares you?
Well, I get, yes, it does, actually. But I get two series of Cubs and Sox every year. It's either 2-2 or 3-3.
Yeah.
And this year, what if they don't play? And I think, you know, it's a good rivalry. Both teams are good. Let's do this thing.
I don't like that.
Put the Yankees and Mets in the same division.
I'm fine if it's the right thing to do, so there's less travel, and it's something that helps get the most out of the season. I'm cool with that, and it's an extenuating circumstance. And when things do get back to normal, then you go back to what is normal. I got no problem with that, but I'm not like dying for Cubs and. Like, if for whatever reason the Cubs and the White Sox don't play this year, but again, I'm not a huge fan of either team. I'm a little surprised that the thought of not having a game or two against the White Sox has got your panties in a bunch.
Well, I've always said, like, usually around Cubs Sox the last 2 years, I'm for play. If we're going to do this rivalry, let's do the rivalry. Let's stop saying that this is a meaningless rivalry and we all get all up in arms over the Cubs and Sox because it's a fake rivalry and you only play each other four times. You know how I feel. If you really want to make baseball more marketable to a lot of different things, I think division realignment's coming anyway. So I think a lot of these inner city rivalries can only enhance the game. Dodgers and Angels and New York Mets and New York Yankees with the Red Sox, Cubs and White Sox and Cardinals. You know, I think there will be more. You know, I told you about what the Indians and the Reds put Pittsburgh in there. I mean, like you get these pockets of teams that make more geographical sense.
Yeah,
these
I kind
days.
Of. You know what though? I kind of like the concept of. A team per league and the possibility of them facing off in the World Series, which would not be a possibility if they're in the same division. Now, maybe that's just, you know, kind of thinking too far out there, but I don't mind them not being in the same division.
All right, 312-332-3776. Anthony and Berwyn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
Listen to you guys every morning. You guys make my mornings. Thank you.
You usually listen on the podcast, or are you mixing up?
No, it's always on my car on my way to work every morning. But
us?
No,
are you talking about us, or are you talking about Cap? Who are you talking about here?
Sylvia and Waddle, your show. I listen to you guys.
Right, 2 to 6. Remember, every afternoon we're on.
Yes.
Maybe this is his morning. Are you a second shift worker?
No, I mean, I work in the morning. No.
I got you. Don't worry, Anthony. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, I just wanted to give you my idea for the baseball because I know you guys were talking about how there would only be, maybe 30-plus-something games if it does come back. And my idea was, why not just for 1 year, why not just put every team in the playoffs, and then the first round can be a wild card, one-game elimination, the two-game, the second round can be a three-game, and then so on and so on. Therefore, every fan base from every team has a chance to see what their team can do and advance, you know?
As crazy as it sounds, Anthony, it's been thrown out by Buster Olney.
I'm not in the participation trophy business.
Well, just like an NCAA tournament style.
Nope.
Well,
to get into the NCAA tournament, you actually have to accomplish something to get into the tournament. Here, there's no accomplishment.
Seventh in the Big Ten, are you accomplishing something?
Yes, you are. I mean, you still qualified and you got voted in. I mean, there is some accomplishment. If you're 5-20, you're not getting in, right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but if you're
By the way, I'm a huge fan of your guys' late-night television show as well, Waddle and Sylvia. I just wanted to
say I know. Some people still come up to me and say, I listen to you every morning, and I always say, no, you know, we're on in the afternoon.
Those people, I think, I was with you. I thought he meant podcast.
Yeah, but I tried to think that maybe it was a second shifter, so and this is his morning.
So, So you want to, you're on board for just start the season and it starts a playoff?
Come on. No, but if he's saying that if you were to play, say you can only play 50 games, and 50 games isn't enough of a sample size to bring out the excitement, you do a tournament 132 against each other, 1 versus 32.
Nope.
So 2 versus 31, or not there's 30 teams in baseball. Not, it's not the NFL. So it'd be 1 versus 30. Mm-mm. No.
No.
And then
listen,
you
and I've got an open mind more than normal, but again, that's not a concept I'm into. Don't make me go Abdallah and say, if you're just going to do it that way, then I don't want a baseball season, because I don't want to go that route and then have to apologize for it a couple days later. I think that this is professional sports. This is not a Little League baseball tournament.
Little League World Series is fun. No, I mean, you still got to win to win.
But not all 30 teams should be eligible.
It's just a weird, like, there's really not an idea that I would shrug off these days.
I will shrug that one off. Get your poo straight, okay? Make sure that you if it's a 50-game season, don't be the clowns that are 15 and 35.
I would think that if there's a situation where they could literally only play 30 games, that they would just not play. They would have to play for more than a month.
I think you may be right about that, Adam, truthfully.
You'd have to at least account for 60 games, that including the playoffs. So you'd have to account for a month's worth of games and then some form of playoffs, whether it's, you do 2 weeks of playoffs or 3 weeks of playoffs, something like that. Because they're not going to, because 30 days just isn't viable.
Now, listen, I know that you've seen the light, and it's not something you're cheering for. It is a prediction, correct? Because I'm not so sure I don't agree with that. Because if it's only going to be 30 games, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it, because I would
watch
it.
I was saying like 30 games and then the postseason. That's what Oberman was saying, wasn't he?
Right. Yes, yes.
It wasn't 30 games total. I'm saying it would be such a small sample size of a regular season that you wouldn't be opposed to a participation style tournament.
Yeah, you're talking about like a 2 month season.
But at that point, I think what Abdallah's saying, and you could speak, what I'm saying for this is, at that point, is it worth taking the risk, whatever risk may still exist? And there must be some, because you're only going to have the ability to get 30 games in. At that point, do they say, it's not worth
all that money
starting things up for the return?
I don't think there is a not worth scenario.
I'm not sure there isn't.
312-332-3776. How can you win a big prize by simply getting a guest on our show? We'll tell you coming up next in the biggest name drop contest. And we'll also give you our final four of the day. Today, because of the anniversary of the Sammy Sosa trade, they talked about this on Cap, but we're opening it up to anything in any city. What are our favorite trades ever? That's next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Usually we see Marching Greco sneak in around this time, Waddle, during these times, because he usually gets bumped from his sports.
Of course.
Because of a press conference.
Is he in there now?
I don't see him yet, but he usually comes in. He goes, he'll look at me and go, shh. And then he'll start wiping stuff down very meticulously.
Yeah.
I was talking to Carmen about that today. Like, it takes me a good 7-8 minutes to wipe down the console in here as well. And I only use it for one segment, and then I have to wipe down where Carmen's been, because that's...
You don't trust Carmen?
No, I don't think this is a trust factor here.
Oh, okay.
I think this is a cleanliness factor.
Right.
You know, just the germ factor.
So the trust factor was just an issue 2 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago, right? That was when the trust factor was at... No, I'm joking.
I don't trust any of you.
At least he said it. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the tree and the nest?
So before we get into the final four topic of the day, and today's topic is best trades ever, your favorite trades ever. So it doesn't have to be your best. It's just your favorite trades.
Any trades, right?
Any trades.
So any trades.
You got a baseball card and you got this card for that card. I know you're going to like, you fleeced Chris Black back in Libertyville High School.
Who's
you
traded him baseball cards in high school?
No, you traded him a little weed for maybe some.
Wow.
I don't know, like a basketball.
Okay, first of all,
Molly? What? You went for a weed for Molly trade?
I will defend Chris Black and his baby lungs. He's never smoked anything in his life.
That's why he was trading you the weed and you gave him a basketball.
He wouldn't know where to get weed if his life depended on it.
But anyway, today started the brand new biggest name drop competition. And between now and Friday at the end of the show, you'll have a chance to win a $500 online gift card to Meats by Lynn's. Visit eatangus.com.
Say what?
They're a meat wholesaler to many great restaurants in Chicago. But because of what's going on and the restaurants being closed, they are selling directly to consumer these days. So go to eatangus.com to find out more. $250 online gift card to Club Hawthorne for Hawthorne Race Course. Hawthorne Race Course, Chicago's hometown track. Bet now at clubhawthorne.com. So just to sum up, you could win meat and gambling vouchers.
Oh, yeah. That is a combo for all time.
And all you have to do is get the most famous person of the week to call in. You be the Randy Merkin, Adam Abdallah, Danny Zetterman of the station for just this week. You book them, get them to call. They come on like today. Rudy Rudiger called, the real Rudy. Earlier today, a famous singer from the Ides of March called. And, you know, years ago, we got Gronk to call in.
I don't remember that.
Neither did I when Birkin said
that. And the $250 to Hawthorne, you could turn that into any amount of money.
This could be $1 million prize.
It could be.
Catch a heater.
It could be.
You never know.
You never know.
So just have them call in during Cap, Carmen, and Yurko, Waddle, and Sylvie. If you want to make this a competition between shows and you want to win it on our show, fine. That's cool. I think it's cool that it's on any show. So as long as someone's on the air here locally, and make sure that it's the real person, and to make sure that it's not an impersonator, the celebrity also has to tweet that they're jumping on at ESPN 1000 in Chicago from their verified account.
What if they don't have a Twitter account?
That's a great question. I brought that up in our pre-show meeting, and I kind of got them the rules. That's what I'm telling
you. You don't win.
Then you got to make your celebrity friend join Twitter or some social media aspect and say, "Hey, I'm joining Waddle and Sylvie or Cap and Company or whoever."
Think about you could have the most famous guy, like Michael Jordan's not on Twitter. Like I know Michael Jordan. I've convinced Michael Jordan to call in. But, Mike, you got to tweet. Well, I don't have a Twitter. Okay, sorry, I can't win. Like, we're going to turn down Michael Jordan because he's not tweeting that he's going on ESPN 1000?
Rules are rules, bro.
Them the rules.
Them's the rules.
So yes, just have your friend call in, friend of a friend, friend of a friend of a friend. Get working on that right now. Everyone's social distancing. These celebrities have nothing to do either. It's not just us. It's not just us who's sitting around basically at home all day with our thoughts. It's the celebrities, too. They could use a little bit of an outlet.
Okay.
Maybe they want to pass along a message. Use the platform. Yeah. All right, let's get to our big Final Four of the day. Waddle, these are Final Four favorite trades in the spirit of the Final Four, which should, by the way, be set today if this was a real sports year. Think about that. We'd have today's topic would be, hey, the Final Four is set.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Dockage, what'd you think of those games? Those are some good games, right? But now instead,
we got nothing.
We're just doing the
Final Four. I would tell you guys this. If the Final Four were being set today, I would definitely have a perfect bracket. I'm just saying. There's no way to prove
it. This year would have been your year.
This year
like Rizzo said, they'd be 3-0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Waddle, what is from 4-1, what are your four favorite trades?
Okay, number one. Well, Jay Cutler to the Bears.
So wait, you went number one or number four?
I'm sorry, number four.
Okay, number four
is Jay Cutler to the Bears. Now, listen, I get it. It didn't ultimately lead to a championship, and it really didn't bring us the greatness that we were all hoping for, but I still thought it was an excellent trade at the time, and I can remember the excitement that just pulsated through our station.
We talked about it for a month before it happened, and then we wished everyone a happy Jay Cutler Day, and then we got behind Cutler so much so where he felt comfortable calling into the show, and then we forever had this great bond with Jay Cutler.
It was fantastic. Number three was a Herschel Walker to the Vikings trade.
Ooh.
I believe... believe there was like 18 players in total that were part of that trade, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
You are correct.
Yeah, 18 different players were involved in that trade.
And then whenever you have like a one-sided deal where one team's getting one guy and the other team's getting, you either say, I don't know if this is going to be someone's, the Ricky Williams deal or the Herschel Walker deal. People always cite those two deals.
Right. So, yeah, Cutler is number four. Number three is Herschel Walker to the Vikings. Number two is a trade that the Houston Astros and the Cincinnati Reds made on November 29th of 1971. Jimmy Stewart, Lee May, and Tommy Helms are sent to the Astros in exchange for Cesar Geronimo, Dennis Menke, Ed Armbrister, Jack Billingham, and Hall of Famer Joe Morgan.
Oh, wow.
And I said to, and just for a little icing on the cake, 4 months earlier, the Reds acquired George Foster in a trade from the San Francisco Giants. So in a four-month stretch, they got Foster, Geronimo, Menke, Armbrister, Billingham, and Morgan in 1970.
That's your childhood right there.
Oh, man, I just got a
little. They traded for Waddle's childhood.
Yes, they did. So that's number two. And number one is the trade that the Bulls made for Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Like, Scottie Pippen to me have always is, you know, there have been times when people say, he's a bit over. He's a top 50 player going away. And he is, you know, just a fabulous part of Chicago sports history.
Is there a chance that we've always underrated Pippen? And now maybe when you're watching these games, you're saying he
possibly
was, you know, if anything, he was underrated, not overrated. That's good list, Waddle. My number four is today's anniversary. Sammy Sosa was an MVP. Sammy Sosa, for the time, sold millions of tickets. Sammy Sosa brought the swag to Chicago. He gets disrespected now. I know he cheated. I know he cheated. Sammy Sosa was still awesome. And it was still, there was a generation of Cub fans were brought up on Sammy Sosa. Now you try to ignore him. Talking to
Don't
you, John
you
Greenberg.
Ignore him.
Number three is Dennis Rodman for Will Perdue.
There you go.
Dennis Rodman got a Hall of Famer. He turned to one of my least favorite players into one of my favorite players and brought the circus to town. I mean, that's what Michael needed. That's what Scotty needed. You needed Dennis Rodman. You got him for Will Perdue. Will, I love you, but thank you for that trade. Number two is Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta changed everything.
That's a good one.
And not only did you get Arrieta, but you also got Strope, arguably one of the most consistent relievers in Cubs history.
Yep.
For Feldman. And Clevenger, Jake Arrieta, without him in 15, the Cubs don't win that play-in game against Pittsburgh. They probably don't beat the Cardinals, and the window doesn't open. And number one, I'm with you, Waddle. How could you vote for anything other than the Jerry Krause draft day trade of Olden Polonese for Scottie Pippen?
Yeah, amen.
Abdallah Miller, who's going?
My number four is trading cards, you know, like baseball cards. And I don't remember the exact trade, but I know that I acquired a Ken Griffey Jr. card from one of my friends when I lived overseas. So I don't remember what I gave up, but it was nothing for an amazing Ken Griffey Jr. card.
But yeah, wasn't it true that the Ken Griffey Jr. card was sort of fictitious as to how valuable it was because they overprinted
it? Nah, it wasn't like one of these valuable ones. It was just a Ken Griffey Jr. card that I wanted. Like, I wanted a Ken Griffey Jr. card. It wasn't one that was, like, worth anything or anything like that. Number three, the lunchroom trade. When I walked into that lunchroom with a chocolate snack pack, you know it was going down. I would fleece anybody. I'd get three pieces of pizza if I wanted to for that snack pack. That was walking in with a loaded gun in that thing. Just be like, give me everything I want.
Gold.
Give me everything I want because I have the unattainable snack pack. Number two is when the Chiefs traded up for Patrick Mahomes. It's the best trade. It's the best trade of that draft. It's easily the best trade of that draft.
Are you going to go Mitch trade number one?
It's the best trade of that draft. And number one is the trade for Jay Cutler. That's the best. If Jay Cutler doesn't get hurt in that game, the Bears win a Super Bowl. Bears are going and winning that Super Bowl. To me, number one is the trade for Jay Cutler.
Gentlemen, my number four, Jose Quintana to the north side for Eloy and Dylan Cease. And
wow,
I think this one is going to get better as the years go by. It may move up on my list eventually. Number three for me, gentlemen, my all-time favorite pitcher to watch, Pedro Martinez sent from the Los Angeles Dodgers because Tommy Lasorda thought that Pedro Martinez was too small to pitch in the majors and be an actual legitimate starting pitcher. He went to the Expos, who I always had a little bit of an affinity towards in the National League. So I enjoyed the Pedro Martinez to the Montreal Expos trade. My number two, I can't remember ever being more thrilled as a fan of my favorite team when the Chicago Bears traded for Khalil Mack. I woke up Saturday morning and I was just blown away because I had remembered that we had been talking just weeks earlier about could the Bears potentially trade for Khalil Mack if they included Roquan Smith. Well, sure enough, they got themselves Khalil Mack and they didn't even have to give up Roquan Smith, so that was awesome. And finally, my number one favorite trade of all time, Waddle mentioned it earlier, the Herschel Walker dealer. As you said, Sylvie, it is the trade of all trades. The biggest thing about it was when you have a 30 for 30 short done on the trade, right, you know you've done something right. Jimmy Johnson, he fleeced the Minnesota Vikings because he traded for, in addition to 18 total players, he traded for four specific players the Vikings thought the Cowboys were going to use. Oh no, Jimmy Johnson pulled the wool over the Vikings' eyes because he then proceeded to cut Jesse Solomon, David Howard, Isaac Holt, and Alex Stewart, and in return received multiple first-round picks in return, which the Vikings had no idea Jimmy Johnson was going to do. So it was an absolute fleecing, the all-time trade of trades, the Herschel
Walker
trade.
That's a good list right there. All right, well, we only have three because both of us, Waddle, took the Olden Polony, Scottie Pippen. We've got the Herschel Walker deal. We've got the Jay Cutler deal. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776. We're wide open to take your calls the rest of the show. Markey will be in studio next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Here he is, the one and only Marching Greco.
Whip is good.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. LaSalle in the River. They will reopen when all Chicagoans are safe. Shout out to David Flom and Maddie Moore and all their great workers at Chicago Cut Steakhouse for their partnership, their support of this radio station and show, and the Mark Jean Greco segment for years and years and
can't
years.
Tell you how much I appreciate that and have the past couple of years. It's awesome. So, how was your weekend? I kind of hit a wall this time.
Whoa. I hit a wall, too.
Really? Mark, you were suggesting that it may be a bit of a sassy weekend in your abode.
Yeah, yeah.
And?
I just have to say that I need to take my own advice. I watched three tremendous movies, but they were the kind of movies that you really didn't want to watch if you're anxious and scared and a little apprehensive. These are very, very heavy movies. I finally got around to watching 1917.
Okay.
And I completely understand why it won all those Academy Awards. I mean, the cinematography and the special effects depicting disgusting, horrifying trench warfare during World War I is just absolutely amazing. The story will rip your heart out. I mean, it was spectacular. But you're up all night after watching the thing. Then there were two movies with virtually the same plot, saving Jewish orphans from the Nazis during World War II. One's called Waiting for Anza, and the other was called The Resistance. And I'm halfway through The Resistance, and I didn't realize it's about Marcel Marceau, the famous mime. And he saved thousands of kids. So, I mean, it was a great movie, but again,
very deep, Mark. I mean,
horrifying stuff.
Sounds like he could use some stepbrothers in his life. Wow.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah, but listen, Mark, do you know what it also does, though? It also reminds you that this social distancing request is a walk in the park when you compare it to what people were asked to do in different wartime situations.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, not to get too deep here.
No, absolutely. Okay, let's lighten it up. Here's another way I entertain myself, and I'm not being a peeping Tom.
What?
But when you're living...
Anything that starts with, I'm not being a peeping Tom, you're probably a peeping
being
Tom.
Being a peeping Tom.
But anybody else is doing it back. Here it is. When you are in high-rise living, and you have high-rises all around you, now I'm looking out my window, and I'm looking at that new 85-story high-rise right next to me, and it's like watching an episode of Hollywood Squares sometimes, or or even freakier, the Twilight Zone episode where aliens captured humans and put them on display in their own habitat.
Did you get a look at a naked Paul Lynn in the center square, or what did you have going on?
I hope to God I didn't. But no, you see people vacuuming and cleaning, and then of course the guy's apartment where I watched the first round of the Tyson Fury fight because his flat screen is so huge. I was like, hey, what's this guy watching tonight? But also another cool thing
Has anyone seen you looking at them?
Oh, I'm sure they have. So, you know.
Hey, that's Mark G. and Greco. Put some pants on, guys.
Yeah, I'm wearing a little unicorn mask and naked.
Are you looking with binoculars? Do you have a telescope?
I do have a telescope. I have a brass telescope off a ship where it actually works.
Not big a peeking Tom, but I have a telescope, yes. And I look at other high-rises.
And I'm looking into other condos.
But how do you have room for that telescope next to your collection of binoculars? I don't know where you put them all.
It's right near the basket that hangs from the chandelier. So I have this chandelier that's all glass bubbles, and it was so windy yesterday and last night. Yeah. This chandelier is swaying, and the bubbles are smacking into each other. I'm afraid they're all going to break. I mean, the window, I mean, it looked like it was close rocking, really. So anyway, here's a cool thing about living in the South Loop. Every night at 8 o'clock, they do the free bird, like with the lighters. Everybody's got their phone up or switching their lights on and off in their places. And they have a different cause every night. Usually it's for the first responders and stuff. Well, there's a 93-year-old guy, unfortunately, who's in hospice down south, like around 18th in Michigan. And that was a tribute to him. So, I mean,
how did this get the backing so quickly? Well, I've seen the videos go viral of everyone cheering, everyone mm-hmm. flashing the lights. Who started this and how did it happen?
I'll tell you who started it. All the people in Sicily who were trapped in their homes.
Right. Oh,
were
singing, that I know.
Doing balcony singing. So we are singing in the South Loop as well while we're flashing phones and lights. So everybody's singing like Sweet Caroline and
stuff
like that.
Right, but who started that? Who got the word out?
In Chicago? I don't know. Yeah. It just caught on. I don't know who started it locally, but globally, it was in Sicily.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
Fahim in Lincoln Park wanted to jump on the show for a minute. Hey, Fahim, what's on your mind?
What's up, buddy? I went to Niles North, by the way. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. Sports Thanks. Being gone sucks. Trying to just entertain ourselves, you know?
Right, right. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, as far as the worst trade, Kevin Garnett.
To the Celtics. Yes, absolutely.
They just gave him away.
Timberwolves.
It was like eight players, two first round picks. Craziness.
Yeah, Danny Ainge.
Appreciate you guys. Be safe. Fahim from Tandoor Chow House in Lincoln Park.
Wait, cool. What's the restaurant?
Tandoor Chow House. It's an Indian restaurant. We've been there for 8 years in Lincoln Park.
That's awesome, Fahim. We'll check it out, okay?
No, I really appreciate Waddle, man. He's amazing. Sylvia, I don't know, but we went to Niles North together.
That's all right. I'm good with that.
I'm a little bit of a snack talker, you know?
Yeah. See you, Fahim.
By the restaurant, guys. Have a great night.
There you go.
Speaking of wonderful receivers, we Skyped with Allen Robinson today.
Oh, nice.
Who's got his Within Reach Foundation donating money to buy meals for Chicago public school kids who obviously aren't in school. And he's going to match every donation up to $12,000 matching his jersey number.
Yeah, there's no...
So it's cool.
Yeah, there's no doubt as to why Allen Robinson was the Bears representative or nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yep. Says he's working out in his basement, still trying to get a little more cardio. He was so diplomatic when we asked him about
the contract.
Nick Foles and Jimmy Graham and about his contract, and he just talked about free agency in general.
But right.
He was very cool. So.
We have tried, Waddle, in every which way to ask Allen Robinson about his contract,
and he
always takes the high road about it.
Yeah, something will get done. I don't know if before the start of the season or when the season is underway, but I feel pretty confident that they will find a way to keep him in the mix for some years to come.
It sounds like it's all but done and it's just on hold for now because he's not getting crazy about it. And he's just laying low.
You believe
well,
that?
Well, they're still trying to upgrade their team.
Yes.
So, I mean, Allen is probably, because he is a team-oriented guy, they're probably all waiting to see what else they can add.
Oh, that's a good point.
And him taking a pay actually, cut, having his salary
or readjusted
moved
where it's just, moved, yeah.
Yeah, and he'll. I feel strongly that he'll get, before the 2020 season is over, I do believe that he will get a contract extension.
All right.
Because this
I think
is
so
his last
too.
Year, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yes, one more year. Frank in Burbank has an answer, I believe, to our question.
Frank in Burbank.
Mark, how are you doing?
Frank, good.
I'm so desperate for hockey, I'm watching a YouTube video on the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a thing about Jaromir Jagr and Mario Lemieux that's also airing that looks pretty interesting about their relationship. And then there was this quiz about are there any NHL players who led the league in scoring where their goal total matched their jersey number, which is really obscure. But, yeah, I'm reaching for anything I can get.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if it's the trainers from Detroit Red Wings history, I'll watch that. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so within the Trib and Channel 7, I believe it's your station, Mark, covered it this weekend. There is a gentleman who's dying, and he's in hospice, not corona-related. His name is Bill Hessian. He was a guidance counselor and a football coach at my alma mater, Revis High School in Burbank, for 30 years. He was living out of state, and they knew he was needing hospice, so he moved back with his family around 21st in Calumet. And so Saturday, his friends and people who knew him walking his dog came by with their dogs. They had a pep parade. They played Irish music, and that happened Saturday, and I know it was covered by Seven and by the Tribune. So
that's pretty awesome.
That might be where some of those happened. But, yeah, he was not my guidance counselor. I went to Revis from 76 to 80, but I knew of him and a real great guy.
Teachers and coaches, well, I think they know, but some of them really don't know the kind of impact they have positively or negatively on students and players. You can say just one offhanded thing. Tommy, you can speak to this and me to a lesser degree, but one little offhanded crack, whether it be a vote of confidence or a really stabbing criticism, that kind of stuff stayed with me all through my adult life. You know?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, some of the guys I've played for have had the greatest impact in my entire life. I mean, Barry Gallup at Boston College, obviously Coach Ditka here in Chicago, Steve Klonne in my high school career. Like, I mean, their impact is not lost on me. And you don't have to have played at the collegiate level or the NFL level to have been affected greatly by a coach and their influence on you. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt. I've always had a tremendous amount of appreciation. And the one guy believe it or not, the one guy that had as much impact on me as anybody was a sophomore basketball coach at Muller High School named Dan Raglan, who basically accepted nothing but every bit of what you had every day at practice. And I would say his impact on me is as important as any I've ever had. So, I mean, it's just like, it's weird that you can go back to your high school years, and I quit playing basketball after my sophomore year, but I can tell you the sophomore basketball coach who had that kind of impact on me. It's just, you know, the effect that sports, positive effect that sports has on you is incredible.
There you
good
go.
Good stuff. We buried the lead, too, because we forgot to mention something that Waddle was named to over the weekend, and I saw it going around Twitter. We'll share that with you coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Saw over the weekend, I think it was Lance McAllister who tweeted it out, Waddle, wasn't it? That you made?
I think so, yeah.
You made, and I don't think this is a huge surprise, but Waddle was named to the first team All-Muller football team ever. This was in the history of Muller High School. Barrett Cohn was the guy who originally tweeted it out. Lance McAllister sent it to you. And it says, here it is, it's voted by the fans, Muller's all-time greatest football team. And I was telling Mark during the break, the first team offense, there are four wide receivers, one of which is Tom Waddle.
Well, it's no surprise, but Tommy, don't downplay this, because Cincinnati Muller is one of the greatest football powers in the entire nation. And remember that story I told you when I was working in Dayton? Dayton Dunbar was the big football power there, and they came down to play Cincinnati Muller after beating everybody 60-0 and got beat 70-0 by Muller. And then there was a story about the Wisconsin coach who came down to scout, and Jerry Faust told him, yeah, I got two guys here who could start for you freshman year. Came down, neither one of them played a second, and the scout said to Jerry, coach, I thought you said they could start for me. He goes, yeah, start for you, not for me. I mean, how many guys dressed for a home game for you?
Oh, we had 100 people for a varsity. We had 1,000 kids in the school, and we had 350 kids total that were participating in football at all three levels.
That's amazing. There has to be a lot of college players and pros.
Oh, there were. I don't know how many pros there were. There were some, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Hubbard is a Moeller kid who went to Ohio State and had a fantastic career and is now playing, I think, with the Bengals. There have been others. But
my favorite name on the list, you know what it is, don't you? It's one of your two starting corners. And one was a 1980...
Byron Larkin?
No, Barry Larkin.
Oh, Barry Larkin. I'm sorry. Yeah,
Barry Larkin, 1982.
Cincinnati Reds, All-Star Hall of Famer.
Is the first team all-corner selection. Byron Larkin was a second team defensive back.
If I'm not mistaken, though, I think Barry played safety, too. I don't know that. I'm not sure. Barry played with my brother. I was a freshman when they were seniors. So my brother was a corner, and Barry was a safety on that team. If I'm not mistaken,
that's so awesome. That's so great.
It's very cool.
Congrats, man.
Congrats, Waddle. That's well deserved.
It's like when you posted your picture of Lola. I said, "There's Lola, little white dog, and the golden receiver."
Yeah, it's good. I will say this again, and I've said it 1,000 times. Of all of the levels I've been very fortunate and blessed to play at, my favorite years are my high school years, without a doubt.
Yeah, it sounds like the Manning brothers. They said the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen.
A lot of people, it's a purist.
The further you go, it becomes a job. Yeah, I mean, like a job really that hard. I loved, but in college, it's a job. And at the NFL level, it is certainly a job.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is you go back to the high school years and everyone is playing for the love of the sport, you know, because not everyone is going to advance to the next level. And it's truly, I think it's the greatest team atmosphere, and it's where I had my most fun.
Can guys hang on to it forever?
Oh, forever.
Oh, my God. My last college reunion, our starting quarterback, first thing he said to me was, "You are a major disciplinary problem." I'm like, thanks a lot. Jesus.
Al Bundy, right?
Yeah, we're like 60 years old at the time. Whatever.
That's awesome.
I want to play this because we haven't played it yet today. I didn't hear it yet either. I don't know if you guys did on Golic and Wingo today. I guess Jay Williams offered up the idea of where the NBA should resume its games. Take a listen.
You know, you already have Mickey Arison, who is the owner of the Miami Heat, who owns Carnival Cruises. Now, granted, Carnival Cruises has been going through some challenging times as of late with some of the cruise ships and what they've been dealing with. But I think if the NBA, if you are trying to find a way, if this happens in May or June, if we're still not in that great, great place, but maybe we're in a better place, maybe if you can take two of those massive cruise ships, and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship. You allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them. And you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. Obviously, everything is sterilized all the time. You have the media companies that are able to drop their equipment in. You never really go to shore. You stay out on the cruise ships. And you build two courts on those cruise ships. Now, I know fans may not be allowed to go, but still, the broadcasting companies could actually broadcast these games. The team members and their family members could be isolated to a degree for that span, if that's 40 days, whatever it may be, and then you're allowed to potentially have these games. The Eastern Conference Finals, you go right into the playoffs, maybe you give a week for each team to prepare, but you go right into that for the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and then you have the championship game on a cruise ship.
Wow, that is way out there.
I love Jay Williams. Well, when the guys told me that that's what he was pitching.
Let me give you, I get the essence. It is a little wild, but how about going to the state in the union that has the fewest number of cases, okay? Finding a basketball arena or two, and then sequester everyone in, Omaha, Nebraska. I don't know where. But if you're going to go on a cruise ship, why wouldn't you find somewhere in the interior of the United States that has the fewest number of cases?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I kind of like the cruise ship idea because it's so unique. And then for wild cards and divisional play, they're little smaller boats around the cruise ships. And then you got to move up to the next boat.
It's the sports cruise.
It's like everybody's
the sports cruise ship league.
There it is. Everybody's soaking wet when they make the finals
because
they fell off the boat.
Well, and then you got, who was it? Isaac's the bartender.
Yeah. Captain Steubing.
Captain Steubing is in charge of
And Doc was fantastic.
And Jack Jones sings the national anthem.
When they get to the NBA Finals, do they go 2-3-2 where they go 2 on the Eastern Conference, 3 in the Western Conference, boat, and then back to 2?
It's back to 2-2-1-1-1. But my favorite is what he says. You have the Eastern Conference cruise.
That's the best.
Wow. We got the Viking Princess over here. That'll house the Western Conference. And over here, we've got the Princess Cruise.
This
lights.
Way, LeBron can keep doing the banana boat thing.
I kind of like
Listen,
that.
At this point, I'll take anything. I will take anything.
You won't
anything.
Take anything because you've already said no to a few of my ideas.
Which one? Which ones were those?
The play he doesn't like if they let's say they would only play 40 games in baseball.
That's fine.
And then in the postseason, because there's such a small sample size that you start with a tournament with all 30 teams playing, one or done, 1 versus 30, 2 versus 29.
He doesn't like that.
He says no.
Well, listen, if you give me that or nothing, I'll take that. But I don't think it has to get to that. I don't think that we go
I
the
don't
route.
No, I think we're getting to that or nothing.
We are not going participation trophy route. Everyone starts the season in the postseason.
We had Len Casper on again today, and he ran down the whole list of alternatives and things that Major League Baseball are considering, and a lot of it is focused on doubleheaders, and the second game of the doubleheader, or maybe both ends of the doubleheader, would be 7 innings, which I've been screaming for forever. Mm. And again, you know, he was talking about you start this truncated season with the All-Star game. That's the first game. And then you have to just whittle it down to where every game means something, and you just have a National and American League champion.
Tomorrow in the bit, dedicated to Jay Will. And I love Jay Williams. This is not a... We are going to come up with your wildest sports idea during all of this. And I want to call it quarantine thoughts. Quarantine. And look, it's something you could fall back on because you could just say, hey, guys, sorry, I had quarantine brain. I wasn't thinking the right way. So it's something that you're willing to throw out. And then if you're wrong or if it sounds stupid, you just blame quarantine brain.
I have one already. Should I save it or you want to do it
now? No, give it to us. Yeah.
Okay. So you just play half court in the NBA. Your team's at one end. The other team's at the other end. And you just keep firing baskets and see how many you make. Total wins. You have a wall up at center court.
Are you saying like it's a giant Papa Shot competition?
Yes, basically that's it. You have a giant net around it. You make these huge... You know, Wurlitz or video game like things.
As long as it's not on a cruise ship.
You just have your entire team. So it looks like warm ups, but everybody's got a ball and it's going nuts. And you just keep shooting and it just keeps running up a total. Whoever has the most points wins at the end of a, you know, decided time.
I can't wait for that. Tomorrow, that's what we're going to do. We're going to call it Quarantine Brain. And anything that you come up with, we want to hear those uncensored thoughts. And then if we laugh at you, you could blame quarantine, bro.
It's like today, Lance Castle, who came in fourth in the NASCAR simulated race.
I'm Lance Castle.
Yeah, at Texas Motor Speedway. You know, NASCAR is doing that. He took us through a tour of his, you know, simulated interior of his race car. The thing cost $20,000. And I said, you crash it, you buy it, you know. But that thing is just the most sophisticated video game you've ever seen in your life. It's got 6 flat screens around it and projects exactly what you'd see out the right window. The left window's got the netting right there. And it's freaky how really realistic it looks.
All right, Mark, we'll see you Wednesday. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mark Gene Greco again, brought to you by our great friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Give me a lighthearted movie to watch so I can get to sleep.
Tweet Marky about that.
Step Brothers.
Thanks to Rudy Rudiger, Mark Gene Greco. Don't forget. The